another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And you know that I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today from all over the world. And my declaration over your life is that the best is yet to come. I want you to believe that today. Well, thank you again for joining me. And I believe that if you are listening to this show today, that you were attracted to this show, and today there will be hope, encouragement, and solutions for your life. Well, how are you doing? I pray that you're having a great day, and I pray that you realize that you can moment by moment really create the life of your dreams. Well, I am broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, as I said earlier, and it is a rainy, rainy, stormy day here in Georgia. And you know something? We are beginning to see the first signs of fall. And I just love the fall. That's my favorite time of the year. I think it's because it always makes me refocus and I kind of get more serious after the summer when maybe I've done a lot of traveling and playing. I sort of refocus during the fall. Well, I've had a great day. Let's see. What did I do? I was at the gym at 8 a.m. this morning. I went to church. I spent some time preparing for the show, and I had brunch with a friend, so I'm really grateful for my day. And I read some of your emails, and speaking of emails, I just love receiving your emails. Now, I don't want you to be shy about sharing your experience with me about how this show and the other shows on the Law of Attraction Radio Network are impacting your life.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Well, interestingly enough, I had an interesting email from a listener in South Africa who shared with me that she had just discovered the show and that she was so sleepy because she had been up all night listening to my archives, and she was so motivated that she could not go to sleep. And I can really relate to that because I listen to my own shows and other shows all of the time. When I'm exercising, I'm always listening. And that's why I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to the archives so that it can really begin to penetrate your spirit so that those principles presented can become a reality to you. The principles presented need to become a revelation in your life, and then you can begin to act on them. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Would love to hear from you. Well, are you ready for truth today? Today, my special guest is Mr. Tom Zender, author of God Goes to Work, New Thought Paths to Prosperity and Profit. How many of you are interested in prosperity? Let me see your hands. I can see them all over the world, okay? How many of you want to see more profit in all areas of your life? Well, if the answer to that question is yes, I want you to stay tuned and be blessed by the information that Tom is going to be sharing with us. But before Tom comes, I want to remind you of my free teleseminar coming up this Thursday. And what I decided to do, since I get so many emails asking me specific questions, I designed this free teleseminar for you to ask me any questions. This is Ask Constance. So if you could ask me just one question about creating more success and joy in your life, what would that question be? So during the teleseminar, I'm going to give you practical advice that's going to transform your life. So that's Thursday, September the 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's 6 p.m. for my listeners on the West Coast. So email me your questions. I've already received so many questions in advance. They may be questions about your business, relationships, weight loss, children, other universal laws. Whatever your questions are, just email them to me, or make sure that you're on that call on this Thursday, and you can go to my website to get that number, and that website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I cannot wait to hear you on that call on this Thursday coming up. Well, are you ready? My special guest today is Mr. Tom Zender, and Tom is the author of God Goes to Work, New Thought Paths to Prosperity and Profits. And man, this man is just so phenomenal. He has a unique and successful blend of two worlds. He, of course, is a seasoned business executive and a recognized spiritual leader. He has extensive experience in the business world, including senior vice president positions with New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ Corporation. And Tom is president emeritus of Unity, where he served for 6 years as its CEO. And he currently serves on the boards of the Association for Global New Thought and the Evolutionary Leaders. And he has so many credentials and just so much expertise. You're going to be blessed today. But let me share with you my own personal experience with Tom. I just met him, and he is one of the most humble, kind, and giving persons that I have met. He has been so responsive to me since I started communicating with him about being on the show. And even though he's very successful, famous, and wealthy, and associates with some of the most famous people in the world, he really has a burning desire to help people, and you know, I just love that. And so I'm just really grateful to have Tom on the show today. So, Tom, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Oh, Constance, it is my pleasure to be with you today, my honor to be with you and your guests. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And so you're calling us from sunny California.
Sunny Southern California. Unlike rainy Atlanta today, we're experiencing an abundance of blue sky and extreme heat. It's 100 degrees here today, which is pretty unusual for this time of the year. But we're so spoiled here about our weather that we're just blessed on every day, and we're grateful for what we get.
Right. I just love California. Well, Tom, you are a very successful man, and you have experienced success in both the business and spiritual arenas. Share with our listeners a little bit about your life, your journey, your story.
Well, it seems that both aspects of my life, both the business side and the spiritual side, and I use the word side loosely, I'm really one coin with two sides, and I've got this integration of spirituality and business running in me, and it has been for some time. As a little kid, I identified myself as a business person, and at the same time, in some of the games I played in my family and with friends, I played both businessmen, and then at sometimes I would be a spiritual figure in the form of a cleric, a minister, a priest, a somebody. So that was running pretty deeply in me pretty early, and it manifested throughout my life, primarily, at least initially, the bulk of my career was in a variety of corporations associated with the computer industry, the information technology industry. And then as my spiritual journey deepened and became more profound, I found myself becoming far, far more interested in the spiritual world. And eventually, that led to my becoming, as you mentioned, the CEO and president of Unity, which is a global spiritual movement that serves over 3 million people, and it serves people of all faiths. And it was during that time that I could fully integrate business and spirituality. And when I left Unity 3 years or so ago, the book was on my mind, and Spirit was moving me along to write the book and become a speaker and a teacher about spirituality and business.
Well, you know, Tom, just from your story, it sounds like that even as a child, you had some sense of what your purpose and destiny would be. But what about our listeners who might be struggling or might say, Tom, that's great for you, but I don't know what I'm put here on earth to do. What would you say to them about finding their purpose or destiny?
I would invite them to engage in spiritual practices, especially prayer and meditation and silence and reading spiritual material of their choice, listening to teachers such as yourself, Constance, listening to this program and other programs of this nature. So there are many different things we can do to enhance our openness to that which Spirit is providing to us and through us. And really asking God, asking Spirit, asking the universe, what is my purpose? Where can I best serve those around me? And in that process of giving to others, I shall receive. That is a universal spiritual principle that is taught and practiced by virtually all faith paths on earth. So we just open ourselves through spiritual practices and we ask, and I think it is in times of meditation and silence, following the asking through prayer or whatever means we use, that we listen deeply, and I do believe that Spirit will give us the path.
I agree with you. I believe that God is always speaking, but we just have to get quiet enough to hear. And it's interesting that you talked about silence. I'm reading a book on silence right now. Why is that so important?
I think that's a time when we can diminish our five physical senses, put them to rest, get them quiet, and then that, for me, creates a greater space for, some people call it our sixth sense, our intuitive sense, which I believe is a very strong connection with God, with the divine. And once our physical senses get quiet and our spiritual sense is thereby amplified, that's when I think we do receive messages from God. Now, you know, some of us sometimes hear an inner voice. Many spiritual teachers say that it is our own voice that we hear. But we also think, I think, get messages from other people. I think God speaks to us through other people,
right,
through books, through even billboards. You know, I've been driving down the freeway and I've spotted a billboard and all of a sudden something jumped out at me, a thought, an answer, an idea that I've learned to pay attention to.
You know, I say God is always speaking, but we just have to get quiet enough to hear him. So let's talk about God. Who is God? And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to say God. They say higher power, the divine, the spirit. Let's talk about God and how can people be more open to God or spirit?
I think the question of who is God is one view, and sometimes, Constance, that the use of the word who presents the notion that God is some elderly, white-haired, out there, apart from me, sometimes irritable. And I think when we raise the question in the form of what is God, then we can start to think that God is something greater than myself. It is a power far beyond myself. It is the source of all creation. It is the constant mover. It is the emanation of all, of everything. We can say that God is omnipresent, is everywhere, is in everything, and at least a spark of God, perhaps called my soul by many people, is within me. Certainly not the whole of God or all of God, but a spark, my soul. And it is then that recognition that places upon me perhaps a desire to serve, to be an extension of, to be an ambassador of God, to do good things in this world for others as well as myself.
Well, you know, I know in my own life, Tom, personally, I was very successful and still am, but then there was a spiritual part of me. There was sort of an emptiness part of me that I felt like God was wooing me, courting me, pulling me towards spirit. And so like you, I just began to pray and meditate and listen to tapes and church and just other people who I felt the Spirit sent into my life and opened myself up to that. And I tell you, it is a very fulfilling life.
It really is. And then again, you've so beautifully answered the question of how can I have more of God in my life? And the answer seems to be somewhat similar to the prior question of how can I open myself to more good in my life, more prosperity, more profit, not just money, but in all things, including relationships. So I agree with you that it is through our spiritual practices of prayer, meditation, silence, reading, learning, listening, that we do open ourselves to more of God in our lives.
Well, you know, I've been reading your book all week and just have really been mesmerized by it, and I think it's so needed in times like these. God goes to work, new thought paths to prosperity and profits. What an interesting title. How did
that
you come up with that title?
I think that your prior statement about being urged and moved and sometimes pushed by God is part of the answer. About 10 years ago, I knew I had a book in me, but I didn't really know what it was about. And I happened to go to a Sunday service at a Unity church nearby me here in Southern California, and there was a guest speaker. And it turned out to be Joel Fotinos, who is the senior editor of the Mind, Body, Spirit, Religion, Philosophy group of the publisher Penguin Putnam. And Joel was speaking about things we needed to know about in order to write a spiritually based book. And I was gobbling up whatever he had to say faster than I could describe. I was making notes at a furious pace. And it was then that I thought, you know, Tom, you need to write a book about spirituality and business. And all of a sudden, the title popped up, God Goes to Work. And clearly, to me, Constance, that was a message from Spirit saying, okay, Thomas, you got the title and you got what the book is about. Now you're going to have to write it. And of course, I needed to go lead the Unity organization for a while to better be able to write the book, but that's what happened.
Well, let's talk about that book. You talk about Secrets of the New Economy. What is that?
For several hundred years, we seem to have lived in a style of business, including management, that stems from the laws of physics. Particularly of Sir Isaac Newton, where our world became a system. It became like machinery. It became like ropes and pulleys and cogs and gears, and that developed for us, I think, the birthing of the industrial age, which has certainly been very, very good for humankind, particularly here in the United States. Leadership and management also, I think, stemmed from that same model. So it became more of a top-down, hierarchical form of management, sometimes benevolent, sometimes not. Sometimes in some corporations it looked autocratic or even dictatorial. And it worked for several hundred years. But I think we have begun to see evidence that that model might be giving away to something new, something greater. Transcending what we have, not discarding it, but transcending what we have and including it and then moving forward. And the new world might also look like physics, but this time it might be more like quantum physics, where there is less definition, more openness to the movement of spirit, more teamwork, more collaborative, more shared leadership. And I think that's what we're starting to see in some of the newer successful companies. Without debating whether they're good or bad or otherwise, organizations like Facebook were born out of that model. Other technology-based organizations have come from that model, and some corporations and companies and startups and entrepreneurs. In particular, I noticed that younger people seem to be moving more with that kind of a model. And so the evidence, again, during the past 10 years in business and therefore our economy, which was really your question, the new economy, I think you know, the economy is built up out of all business. It's the sum of all business. And so the effect on our economy is really based upon the effect of how we operate our businesses, whether they're entrepreneurial and new or ongoing older businesses. And the reshaping of how we operate business for not only greater monetary profit, but for, let me call it, greater human profit. You know, when I see, touch, and feel what I would call the newer quantum organizations, they feel good. It feels good to be their customer. It feels good to walk in their stores. It feels good to be in their offices. It's palpable. And I believe that spirit is very definitely at work in those organizations. To the contrary, you and I have probably walked into places of business where we didn't feel comfortable for no particular apparent reason, but the energy was different. And so
right.
I think the new economy is being born out of a new way of creating and leading businesses.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you talked about Facebook, and I think the gentleman just donated, was it $100 million for education? And it appears that people who work in those kinds of companies have more fun, that the companies seem to be more interested in the employees. There's more flexibility, more creativity. And I love that. So spirituality and business can work.
Definitely. You know, a really very visible, pretty well-known example of a larger ongoing corporation that exhibits that kind of spirituality is Target Corporation. They, for years, have given very generously of their profits, their net operating profits. They give about 5% per year to global humanitarian causes. They're well known for it. Their employees love to work there. Customers who shop there love doing business there. They're loyal. And so that's just one example. And I happen to know that one of the founding family members of Target went through a period of extreme spiritual growth. And it was during that period that he advocated that the corporation really be giving to everybody, customers, employees, even vendors, and especially the communities throughout our world. That is an incredible example.
And so giving is just one form of spirituality in the workplace. What would be some other examples? Because when you say spirituality and business, you're not necessarily talking about somebody going and just, you know, preaching or throwing God in people's faces. What do you mean by spirituality in the workplace? What would that look like?
To me, it looks like the outer expression of high spiritual values, the values that God imbues us with as humans, the goodness of our soul expressing in our work. So it shows up as empathy and kindness and truth and honesty and openness and inclusion and transparency. And let's take a couple of examples of what that might look like. Certainly, when I'm in a workplace, there is nothing, but nothing, no HR rules, no federal rules that prevent me from quietly, internally, saying a prayer or giving a silent blessing to another employee, to my boss, to somebody who works for me, to a customer, to a vendor. And maybe an extreme stretch for some people would be a blessing for my competitor, that God has enough for all to share. And so that's how it begins to show up, I think, in workplaces. It can also be in me as a consumer. There's nothing that stops me from, I'll give you a personal example. I remember on a couple of occasions in the evening going to board my flight to somewhere to find out that the flight was canceled. And I had a choice at that moment to become mad and angry and start yelling and screaming and pounding the poor ticket agent's desk to no avail. I knew that it would do nothing. And the choice I made was to say, you know, how would I feel if I were in that person's shoes? And to just quietly offer them a blessing and a little prayer and let go of my internal irritability. And I got to be honest and tell you that often enough, when I do that, the problem gets solved and I find myself on another flight. And that's not why I did it, but that is, you know, the gift that might have come back from my willingness to give. So we can do
right.
it as consumers.
And, you know, and so, Tom, what you're saying, do you believe that people who work in companies that are really merging business and spirituality together are happier? Or do, are they more creative? What is your thoughts on that?
I think so. I think we're going to see a larger body of research that proves it. I only know it from my own experiences and certainly from the experiences of talking to others. And I don't think it matters what the size or nature of the business is. I think that, you know, I gave the example of Target Corporation, which is a huge corporate entity. I know of some examples of smaller companies, startup companies, entrepreneurial organizations, where the whole notion of spirituality is embraced from the get-go. And they seem to develop faster. They seem to be more fluid. They are more, you said it, they are more fun to be part of. They're more giving, both internally to the employees and externally to the customers, their vendors. There is enough evidence already to suggest that especially the newer successful corporations have embraced spirituality in some form. I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that Google Corporation, as an example, provides space for their employees to meditate. And I'm aware of some others that have. I know that Hallmark Corporation in Kansas City, a greeting card corporation, has a corporate chaplain. So there's mounting evidence that an increasing number of people, corporations, are understanding the value of spirituality in business.
And so do you believe that because of what's been going on globally, economically, that businesses are more open to spirituality?
Yeah, sometimes God has to hit us up with a 2x4 and to wake us up. And that's true of me. So, you know, the upheavals we've seen for the last 10 years, I think are road signs. I think they're signals that whatever we've been doing in the past is not working very well these days. And some economists are saying, welcome to the new normal, you know, in the sense that we're going to live a different lifestyle. Not making it bad, but just saying we have to live differently. To continue our business, economic, and personal journeys. So one indicator, of course, in just around the year 2000, if you remember, there was the whole dot-com expansion. The Internet was going nuts.
I remember that, right.
Oh, yeah, all business was going to be on the Internet. And, of course, it took off like a shot, but it stopped abruptly when people figured out that it was not an instant thing. And, you know, a lot of companies crashed and stock values went down and people got hurt and so forth. But we went along our merry way. And, of course, the next event started occurring in late 2006 and really got going in 2007 and 8. And that was the collapse of the auto industry, the collapse of the financial industry, the collapse of the real estate industry. And we're still feeling the effects of those things. But if you notice, if you start noticing, you'll see a shift in the nature of many of those businesses to a softer, gentler, more introspective, more balanced, more teamwork, more greater concern for customers and vendors and everybody surrounding the business. So maybe the 2x4 hit a couple of times, and we're waking up and we're saying, hey, there's a new way, and there are teachers and books and leaders who are expressing that into the world. And I think the world is open to it now, Constance.
I think so. So for some of my listeners who might be working at a job right now that's in a traditional Fortune 500 company that's very structured and very stressful and they have to work long hours, what would you say to them?
I'd say a couple things. I would say, again, carry your spiritual practices into your workplace. And let me explain that carefully. You said it, and I'll repeat it, Constance, and that is, that does not mean stand up on your desk and preach. It does not mean try to convert anything, anybody to your particular faith path, your spiritual path. But rather do simple things like spend a few moments at your desk or at your workstation, even just a few seconds, whatever you can do to recenter yourself in prayer, a brief moment of meditation. Consider taking part of your lunch hour and go outside if you can, or go to a quiet place and simply go quiet, be in the silence, pray, meditate, bless somebody or something. There's nothing that says that you can't keep some spiritual material at your desk, and maybe when you begin work or end work or during a break, you can certainly read a few sentences out of any traditional or non-traditional spiritual texts, periodicals, whatever. So I think we can carry our spiritual practices into the workplace quietly, gently, and even briefly, and we can have a profound effect, first of all, upon ourselves, and secondly, how I show up in that environment. And I do believe, you know, the law of attraction is absolutely correct. Other people around me will be attracted to the way I am, to the way I behave, based upon how I show up. And I will show up in a more spiritual sense, a more attractive sense, when I am living my spiritual practices in my workplace.
You know, that's so true, Tom, because in my own life and professionally, I always practice spirituality and combine the two. It's really one, but I'm just sharing with our listeners. It's really one for me. And I always give more than what I paid for. If I'm doing training, I would go in earlier prior to the training and just say a special prayer over the room prior to. I pray over the material that I'm presenting. And when I do that, it seems to be more powerful. And so that's my way of really bringing spirituality into my own business. And I always give more. My position is always giving in a spirit of excellence. And so for my listeners, that's one thing that you can begin to do is begin to give. Give a prayer, give a compliment, give some great insight or ideas. And that has really worked for me. And, Tom, interestingly enough, when I do that, more comes back to me.
It does. It absolutely does. That you've made a very, very good point. You know, we can give in the ways that you described, just giving more of ourselves for the benefit of others, and we don't have to expect any return. It's not necessary. The return comes.
Right.
And I think there are some additional expressions of it. Sometimes in some organizations, the giving is a collective giving. Sometimes to the workplace where a group of employees will band together to do something good for their workplace. It might even be, I've watched employees voluntarily redecorate an employee eating area just to make it more pleasant, and they bought the materials and they did the work, and it was beautiful. A further example is when whole corporations or divisions or small companies, small groups, give to their community. I'm very aware of some work groups who go out into the world and they do things like Habitat for Humanity. They'll build a home within the Habitat for Humanity model and so forth. And so I love what you said about giving.
So what other concepts would you like to share from your book
that
might really be beneficial to our listeners?
I think overall it is to be conscious of our behaviors. First of all, be conscious of the way I'm thinking, the way I'm believing, what I'm carrying inside of me, and be very conscious of that, and be conscious about developing that part of me that we would call my spiritual part or my soul, my spirit. And then to be conscious again of how I express it in my workplace. And so, again, my spiritual practices become very important, and my consciousness about how I'm expressing it. Now, in the book, I've coined a term called spiritual transaction. You know, the deeper part of business, we say, well, business is created and conducted by transactions, by buying and selling. by purchasing parts and by building products or by developing services, by selling them, by marketing them, by providing customer service. Those are all transactions. So are buying things from vendors and so forth. So the term spiritual transaction to me means consciously creating transactions from a spiritual basis. So it does include things like a 5-second blessing or prayer for somebody that I'm about to do business with, whether it's another employee, in some location in some other part of the world, a vendor, a customer, whatever it is, and thereby creating a spiritual transaction. And then being aware that spiritual transactions accumulate. They accumulate within me, and they accumulate within others around me, and they accumulate in the workplace to the extent that we're building up our spiritual assets. We're growing spiritually at all levels, not just in the workplace, but we're almost working in reverse. We tend to think about, okay, I've got my spirituality developed at home and in my private life, but I check it at the door when I leave Monday morning. And I don't think about it during my work week. Well, there's the possibility, because most of us probably spend more waking hours at work than we do necessarily with time with families and friends and so forth. So as I develop my spiritual assets in the workplace, I can take them home and have a positive impact there as well. So spiritual transactions help us create and broaden and deepen our spiritual assets. And then all of that accumulates in the workplace to create something I'd call a spiritual workplace.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
I love that. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Tom Zender. He's the author of God Goes to Work, New Thought Paths to Prosperity and Profits. And Tom, you talked earlier about our thinking. What does our thinking need to look like during times like these? You know, a lot of people have been laid off or downsized, or they are really recreating or rediscovering who they are. What could you share with our listeners about our thoughts and the power of what we think?
It seems to me that we can run in at least two paths. I can run in fear, or I can run in faith. And as long as I'm running in fear, my work environment, my work, my business practices will be difficult. If I am holding in my consciousness, I'm holding in my awareness, fear, and I can't do this. This won't work. They won't let me. And all of those old blockages that can show up in me, then I'm probably going to continue to face challenges in my work. On the other hand, if I deeply believe that Spirit is in my corner, God is in my corner, God is always available to me, God is always my counselor, as long as I am willing to accept that truth and work on the path of faith rather than fear, I believe that sooner or later somehow good will show up in my work. I may not know how it's going to show up and when it'll show up, but the one thing I know for sure is that it will show up. And so constancy, persistence of my work, starting with God in my work, to me is the key to moving beyond this current state of affairs in both our personal and the collective economy. It's in the collective consciousness. Somehow, during the last couple of years, we have built a mound of fear, and it shows up in the media, and that doesn't necessarily do us any good. But what we look for is the faith that we're moving beyond it individually and collectively, and that that there is sunshine on the horizon, that we are getting through this mud puddle, And then there are some beautiful flowers blooming on the other side of it. And we just hold to that. That is my true inner belief, and it can be anyone's belief who chooses. And this is the beauty of it. We have a choice. We can think in fear, or we can think in faith. And to be able to turn that switch anytime we want is one of the most, is a great gift of God.
It is a great gift. So, Tom, for some of my listeners who might feel that they have an idea from God, or they may be in the process of starting a business, should their focus be on profit or serving?
It definitely should be on serving. It should be on giving. It should be on what am I creating for the greater good of all? What product, what service am I creating here for whom and for what good for them? And to the extent that I operate from that consciousness, from that awareness, I believe that that the gates are open for us to succeed. When I'm doing it for me, and I can look at my own history, Constance, that where whenever in my past I was doing something in business for me and me alone, even if it flew for a little while, it eventually crashed until I woke up and heard the message and learned the message and practiced it, that I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve God, you, and others. And to the extent that I willingly, joyfully do that, I will be taken care of.
You know, that is so true. Even in my own life personally, I always share with my listeners that I guess about 10 years ago I got major contracts with the state of Georgia. And in my meditation and prayer time, Spirit just said to me, money and mission first, not mission and ministry first, and money will follow. So I
yes.
actually took my mind off of money, and Tom, money just came to me.
Yep, exactly.
And so that's what I want to share with our listeners, that just like you said, if they would just find a need and meet it,
yeah,
and just reach out to help people, that's powerful.
That's also a good time. Any time's a good time to employ our spiritual resources and principles and practices. And I think for an entrepreneur, the idea of prayer and meditation and silence and listening to the notion of, hey, God, this idea has come to me about a product or a service, something new that I want to do. Did it come from you, or did it come from my ego? Help me out here. Let me just ask that question of you, and let me just go quiet. Let me be silent, and let me know. You know, let me know if I'm on the right path. There was a beautiful movie a few years ago called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it really was about the relationship of science, particularly quantum physics, and spirituality. And I remember one of the younger people being interviewed had been a chiropractor, and he had become, I believe, a physicist. And he pointed it out. He said, you know, every morning I ask, what is mine to do today? Please show me the path for today. And please let me know if I'm on it, and please let me know if I'm not on it. And that kind of caught me, and I thought, what a simple, beautiful, practical, good spiritual practice, you know, to ask at any time. There's nothing that stops me from internally just taking a little minute to ask that question and then to just listen for a while.
So you believe that during times like these, when there's so much chaos, that if we would just be still and know that many times that God would download answers or solutions through us and with us that we could share with the world that would change their lives?
Absolutely. You said it so beautifully. Always the question of, you know, what is my motivation? What is my motivation in doing this? Am I just trying to make money? Am I trying to create something good for the world? What am I up to here? And then just listen. Just go quiet and listen. And it'll happen. I love the term download. They're happening all the time. My dilemma is, how open am I to them?
Right. So how would you define prosperity? And some people may say, well, that's easy for you guys to say, Constance, because I'm struggling right now financially and I need a service or a product or a business that's going to bring some money into my household, into my family, so that I can sustain them. So in your mind, how would you define prosperity?
I think prosperity is a state of mind. I think it's a state of consciousness. I think it's a deep belief that that God provides for me in all ways and all times, but I have to be open to that. So I start with a prosperity consciousness.
And what do you mean by that?
I believe holding in my mind the notion of good, of plenty, of sufficiency, of an abundance, of affluence, of wealth, of all good things, not just money. I think money's part of it, but in our earlier discussion, it was giving became foundational to receiving, whether it's money or if something else. So for me, prosperity is what I hold in my mind about having good relationships, having a good relationship with God, having a good relationship with myself, having good relationships with my family, my friends, the people I work with, the people I serve, my customers, the people who supply me, my vendors. It is holding all of that in the light of there is plenty for all. If we really, really believe that God is infinite, just an absolutely, totally infinite source of everything, and if I hold in my mind, my thinking, my consciousness, my awareness, that that is so, and I'm part of it, and that in that I do receive that, that I'm willing, that I'm open to receiving it, and as a prelude to that, I will give. I will give as much of myself for the good of others as I can. So I hold a prosperity consciousness, and then that works outward into my daily affairs, whether it's business or some other part of my life.
That's very powerful. And, you know, you've been exposed to some of the greats in business. Would you say that having a wealth consciousness or a success consciousness would be one of the characteristics of people who are successful?
I believe so, particularly if they're successful in the long term. I think we have a lot of examples where there are short-term gains, and often enough they don't hold. But I think if we look at people who have been successful in business across a number of years, and we can say something about some of them. Certainly Sam Walton, who formed Walmart, was a man who held prosperity in his consciousness. And he was holding it for more than himself. He was holding it for his customers. And that's been demonstrated repeatedly. Sometimes companies like a Walmart get beat up in the press for something they did wrong, but I think the press ignores the greatness of what they have done right. Ditto Target Corporation, which I quoted a little while ago, doing some wonderful things for our world. They recently made a mistake, and the press really got on their backs about it. Okay, but let's also acknowledge them for the good that they have done and continue to do. People like Warren Buffett, I really believe he holds a prosperity consciousness, and that's been demonstrated very deeply recently because he is giving the bulk of his massive fortune to humanitarian good, along with Bill Gates of Microsoft. And again, Microsoft gets kicked around a bit by the press for one thing or another. We also have to recognize that they've been immensely successful, including and especially Bill Gates, but now here's Bill Gates giving up of his fortune to the world in conjunction with Warren Buffett, and they recently invited 50 more like them to give more than half of their personal fortunes to humanitarian good. So when we think about, do these people hold prosperity in their consciousness, I think the answer is yes, because it's across a long period of time. It's been through various financial periods. Those around them have been very successful, and here they are giving immense fortunes to the world.
So what you're saying, Tom, is that no matter what circumstance any of our listeners may find themselves in at this moment, they can begin right now, moment by moment, to make a quality decision to create, to develop and maintain a prosperity consciousness in all areas of their lives?
Sure, because the other alternative might be a poverty consciousness. And that, unfortunately, that works just as well. You know, if I hold a poverty consciousness, guess what's going to show up in my life?
Poverty. And what I want to share with my listeners is that you're not a victim, that it is a moment by moment decision that you can make. And that shows you how powerful you are in the universe and how you can literally create and change your world.
You know, it is so simple, and we make it so hard. This is such a foundational kind of thing. I mean, many, many great spiritual teachers, including Jesus, if you were to sum total his message, I think it is, whatever you hold internally, whatever you hold within yourself is what's going to show up in your life. And that was a very key part of his teaching. Ditto Buddha, ditto so many of them.
Well, share with our listeners, can you believe that our hour is almost gone? It's been such a pleasure. And Tom and I just decided that we were just going to flow by the spirit doing this show, and that's what has happened. Whenever you do that, time just sort of goes by really fast. So, Tom, share with our listeners, what are you doing now? I know you have some global initiatives going on. How can we get involved with what you're doing? And do you have any new books coming up? Are you available for seminars? And what is your website? All of the above.
All right. Well, let's start with my website. It's very simple. It's just my name, Tom Zender, TOMZENDER. No punctuation, just TOMZENDER.com. And in my website, you'll spot quite a number of things, including the fact that, yes, I'm very available for speaking engagements ranging from, you know, talks or seminars, workshops. I can do any number of things, and I have a set of standard things that are shown on my website, and I'll also customize my work for any particular purpose. That includes spiritual organizations, corporations, smaller businesses, nonprofits, and university business schools. My current book has been out for several months now, so I don't yet have another one being published, but I've written a second one, which is completed, and at some point we'll publish it. There's a third book, which is about one-third finished, and I have a fourth book that is stirring in spirit. The initiatives that I'm involved in, one is the Evolutionary Leaders, and there is a website for evolutionaryleaders.net, and that includes some pretty well-known authors and speakers like Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, many others, and it includes quite a number of academics, business people, people associated with ecology, associated with education, communications, media, and there are 50 of us. And our work is to raise global consciousness about the fact, and it's back to choice, Constance. We have a choice as a humanity about how we want to evolve going forward. I'm not talking about physical evolution. I'm talking about the evolution of consciousness and the evolution of how we behave and how we show up in the world as a humanity. I think to date we've been evolving pretty much by chance because we weren't conscious enough. But I think we're becoming conscious of consciousness, and therefore we have choice. We have choice not only in our individual lives, but we have choice in our collective lives. So the Evolutionary Leaders are part of that, and another group I'm involved in with a similar bent is the Association for Global New Thought, AGNT, and their website is agnt.org. And so these are some initiatives, and people can find out more about them through my website and especially through the evolutionaryleaders.net website and the agnt.org website. So there's a lot of good going on in the world, and not all of it is identified and reported by the media. but I'm hopeful going forward that the media will increasingly pick up on it and say, hey, world, you know, we don't always have to live this way. We have choice, and the more of us that make a choice for good, the better.
So, Tom, do you feel like you're living the life of your dreams? Are you living a very fulfilled life? And what would you say to some listeners who may not feel that they are just really living the life of their dreams right now?
Yeah, I definitely am living my purpose right now. I can feel it. I know it. And it's not about making money. It's not about fame and fortune. It's about my purpose is to bring my message about the value, the necessity, and the absolute goodness of spirituality and business to the world by my writings, by my speaking, teaching, whatever I'm doing. It's true. It is my life work now, and I love it. I enjoy it. And to the extent that I do what you describe, that I give of myself to this work and to those I serve, I'll be taken care of. I don't have to worry about that. And it's not about how much money. You know, in many respects, I make far less money today than I did in my corporate roles. I don't care. It's okay. And it's not because I have some massive amount of money in the bank sort of thing. I have plenty. But it's not about that. It's about living my purpose, and it feels so good, and it does good, and I know it. I go to bed at night knowing that. And so to those who may not have yet grasped their purpose in life, their passion, their beingness, the meaningness, it's back to spiritual practices for me. It is the prayer, the asking, the meditation, the listening, being in silence and quiet and waiting for the downloads and picking up on them and testing them by asking God, you know, did this download come from you or did this come from my ego? Is this for me? Is this what I'm to do? Show me the way. Show me the path. Show me the signs that I am on the right path, and then go to work on it. And yeah, there can be obstacles. There can be obstacles. But they will be overcome if we're on the right path.
That is so wonderful. I mean, Tom, I just want to thank you so much for taking out time to share with the listeners all over the world. I know that the powerful information that you shared tonight would just transform and change people's lives, and I'm just so appreciative to you.
I'm appreciative of you too, my dear. Thank you so much, Constance, for inviting me to do this with you. I very much appreciate it.
You're welcome, and have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So for all of my listeners, what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this broadcast or this podcast again and again, and as I always say, let it drop down in your spirit. Well, make sure that you remember to attend my free teleseminar this Thursday. Go to my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and really take advantage of all the wonderful tools that I have designed just with you in mind. Have a great weekend, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.